Question 77. What is this, then, that is written? Luke 20:17. And he beheld them and said, What is this, then, that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Many of us have a tendency to believe the best about ourselves. We give reasons when explaining our shortcomings, and when others do, we call them excuses. When we read about the multitudes in the Bible, we tend to think of ourselves as special, as different, and that we stand not with the crowd, but alone and individually. When Jesus was teaching by way of parable, he told the story of the Lord of the vineyard, who set up his winery, making every provision for it. He hired a staff, put them in charge, and left the country. Upon sending emissaries, the Lord found that the workers had grown wicked and selfish. So he sent his son, thinking they will reverence him. After telling his hearers that they killed the son and tossed his beaten body out to the birds, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and asked, What do you think will happen now? He received an answer commensurate with the offense, as he expected. But at this point, they had not considered that they were they of whom Jesus spake. When this occurred to them, they were angry, and the Bible says they sought to take him. What was the key that made them realize that it was they whom Jesus condemned in the story? Jesus asked them a question. What is this, then, that is written? This story brought the Pharisees to an objective state in which they could see themselves as they really were. When they were minus their selfish blinders, they could see the horror in their actions. When they realized that it was themselves whom they had just condemned, they were angry. Nathan the prophet in King David's time used this method in showing David his sin with Bathsheba. Hearing a story of a rich man taking an only lamb from a poor man, David became incensed and demanded that the man be punished severely. Nathan then told David, Thou art the man. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we apply the blessings and the good parts to ourselves and the unpleasant portions to all those people we don't know. When we read, God so loved the world, we claim the word world applies to us. When it says, He was in the world and the world knew him not, we say that the world applies to someone else. Once when Jesus was making a point about his lordship, he asked about a certain scripture and suffixed the question with, And the scripture cannot be broken, making the inference that the scripture is a reliable and trustworthy record, and most of all, it is true. If we can assume that it is true and unbreakable, then we may ask several questions about what's written there. When we couple our natural tendency to believe the best about ourselves and the fact that the Bible is a faithful record of past and future events, we find discrepancies. Jesus speaks of a straight gate into which few go. He speaks of a straight way upon which few find the desire or ability to walk upon. He also spoke of a broad way and a wide gate that many find and travel that leads them to destruction. Contrarywise, we think that most of those we know are on the path that leads to life, and few are on the destructive road that leads to everlasting death. This discrepancy is hard to rectify. None of us have trouble with famous murderers being thrown to the flames, but it's never anyone we know. Yet, what is this, then, that is written? Jesus spoke of servants that were cut off, cast away, and disregarded. Who are these? If we decide that it is not us, or does not apply to us, we must ask, What is this, then, that is written? If the scriptures cannot be broken, what is this then that is written? Matthew 7:22-23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Who are these people who were well on their merry way into the reward for which they thought they were working, only to be thrust out into outer darkness? If we decide that they're no one we know personally, and it certainly cannot be us, what is this then that is written? Consider the foolish man which built his house upon the sand, Matthew 7. The many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7. The foolish virgins took their lamps and took no oil with them, Matthew 25. The man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, Luke 9. The five brethren of the rich man, of whom it is said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead, Luke 16:31. The many who are called, from which few are chosen. Who are these people? Are they anyone we know? Could they be us? Or are they loose and undirected points of a sermon, hitting and missing with no certain target? Perhaps they're just scare tactics to coerce compliance. Or perhaps they're dire warnings, serious messages with meaningful words and urgent notices to beware of pitfalls and traps. Perhaps they are true, and as sure as the scripture that cannot be broken. If these warnings are not for your mother and father, sister and brother, son or daughter, if these warnings are not for your close neighbors and friends, if they're not for you, then what is this then that is written?